chapter 7. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, that's what it says, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. Now, the writer of the Epistle of Hebrews really does some deep reasoning, I think, in this chapter, in all his chapters, but this chapter is really something. To whom also Abraham gave 10%, a tenth part of all. First, being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, here he goes, digging down, they that are of the sons of Levi. Now we know that the priesthood had to come from Levi, who received the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. Wow. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. The better blesses the lesser. That makes Melchizedek better than Abraham, is what he said. And here, men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, that's pretty great, isn't it? You know, Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, making Melchizedek greater than Abraham. Melchizedek blessing Abraham, making Melchizedek greater than Abraham. Now he gets right down to Abraham's loins and says, as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. Okay, so he's building them up for what would be a letdown to them had they not known and understood that there was a priesthood coming that would be greater than, that would supersede the priesthood of Levi. To them, the Levitical priesthood was divinely ordained and of God, and it was permanent. I suppose that they would think that this is permanent. This needs no change, and that's why the apostle approaches this possible belief of theirs. I'm sure it was a belief of theirs, but he's setting them up, getting them ready to show them that there is another priesthood. And so he uses this story of Melchizedek to prove his point. And we'll go into that in just a minute. I just want to read through the chapter first. And as I may so say, he says, Levi also, you know, the one who receives your tithes, Israel, or Hebrews, you know. Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. Proving that there is a higher priesthood. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. See, Abraham had given birth to Levi. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then Levi being one of the 12 sons of Jacob. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, now he's reasoning with them, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? Now we'll read the parenthesis also. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, or the administration of the law, they had to have a priesthood. What further need, and we need a priesthood. What further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe. Another tribe? Hey, this thing is limited to the tribe of Levi. But he says, he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, and no one from the tribe of Judah was ever qualified to serve as a priest. And here he's talking about a priest from the tribe of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. That was limited to Levi, the Levitical priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment. That's the way the Levites were made priests, after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. And that's why the Levites couldn't continue as priests, because they didn't have an endless life. They died and they were replaced, and then the next one died and he was replaced, the next one died and he was replaced in the Bible. So there were many priests. But Jesus will never be replaced. So we don't have to worry. You know, our priest is alive forevermore. For he testified, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made priest. In other words, he was made priest by an oath. In that Psalm 110:4, the Lord hath sworn will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For these priests, or those priests, the Levitical priests, were made without an oath. So that could have an ending. But this with an oath, that's Jesus, by him that said unto him, and then he quotes Psalm 110:4, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests. Why? Because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, and because of that, he is able also to save them to the uttermost. Do you know what uttermost means? You know, go preach his gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. That means go until you can't go anymore. Amen. You know, till there's nothing left to go to. No one left to preach to. Every creature, uttermost. And here, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. That means he's going to save us all the way. Because he's our high priest, and because he lives forever. Because he has an unchangeable priesthood. Well, you know, I'm going to just slip something in here. Do you know what people need? They need faith to believe that. You know what people don't have? They don't have enough faith to believe it. Christians today have a difficult time believing. You know why they have a difficult time believing that God is going to save them? Because they know themselves. They know their thought life. They know their tongue activity. They know themselves. I mean, how could, well, I'm reading the Word of God. He says, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Okay. We go to God. We repent. And we turn from our wicked ways. And we have revival in our own hearts. And still we stumble occasionally. And the Bible says that's all right. That's not all right, but I mean, I'm able to pick you up and put you on the right track and keep you there. I'm able to save you to the uttermost. To the uttermost. All the way to heaven. I didn't start out this race to get halfway to heaven. I didn't start out this race to get my hand on the last stairway to heaven. I started out to finish, didn't you?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. You know what that means? That means you burn every bridge behind you.
Yeah.
That means you leave no way back into the world.
Amen.
No way back.
Amen.
There's no way back for me. Honestly, it's gone. Yeah. Every bridge is burned behind me. We should all say that and sing that and believe that. Excuse me. No way back to the world. You know, some people, they coddle little things in their hearts and in their minds, and they've got these little thoughts. Well, just like Ananias and Sapphira. Well, yeah, we'll look good. We'll go to church and we'll do this and that, but we'll just hold back a little, just in case this thing falls through. Well, I'm here to tell you, this thing's not going to fall through.
Amen.
It's not going to fall through. God is God. I'm convinced. I know. Jesus is Lord. That's it. The Holy Ghost is for us today. I've been baptized right. I've got the Holy Ghost. I'm on the right road. I'm on the living way. I'm going to heaven. I'm not turning back. My mind's made up. I don't have any other thoughts in my mind. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I met a man. I thought he was a good man. The Bible says there's none good. I found that out. I mean, a nice looking guy, well built guy, middle aged fellow. This is way back when I was working at Roberts. And he came in, and there were several fellows there, and I don't know how it is all the time everywhere, but I know then that when several fellows got together, it wasn't always the cleanest environment to be in, especially the unregenerated kind, you know. And they were talking, and This fellow, as they got to talking about women, this fellow said, and he had a wonderful family, a wonderful wife, wonderful children, a businessman here in Eau Claire, and I couldn't believe my ears when I heard him say, yeah, he says, I think that if the right opportunity offered itself to me, I think I would. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. I think I commit a little immorality. Hmm? If I could keep it from... And I thought to myself, how different I feel. You know, there's nothing back there. Nothing. Like a bullet. Jaw set like a flint. Hallelujah. It's heaven. They that declare such things. Not Abraham alone. They that declare such things. Praise the Lord. They show plainly they seek a city. We want God's blessing, but some people want to hang on to just a little bit of the world, just a little, just in case, you know, something really good comes along. I don't want to be so dedicated to the Lord. I don't want to be so sold out to God that I couldn't turn just a little bit, you know, and just enjoy it, a little of it. Ah! Get that out of your system.
Amen.
Get it out of your system. There's nothing but God, nothing but Christ, nothing but the Bible. Nothing but church, nothing but love, nothing but holiness, purity, godliness, nothing but love, joy, peace. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm just going to wait till y'all quit running the aisles and then I'll start in again. Well, that's enough to make anybody run the aisles.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Just watching them hang from the chandeliers. Why, that ought to make people so excited. Praise the Lord that your mind is made up. Your mind is made up. I won't eat at the devil's table. I don't care what luscious fruit he has on there. I absolutely refuse his table. I am eating at the table of the Lord. And I'm satisfied where I'm eating. That's why there's nothing out there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, we definitely have something over on the world. The world looks at the church and the Christian, and they say, I don't know. I don't know if I want to be a Christian. But the Christian looks at the world and says, I know.
Amen.
I know. You know why you don't know? Because you've never been on my side.
Yeah.
But I know because I've been on your side.
Yeah.
The person that's never been saved looks at the church and they kind of wonder about it. No, that's normal. You know, that's natural. Don't worry about that. Expect it. Expect that. So they look at us, but they don't know what we've got. They don't know what it's like to be regenerated, cleansed, washed in the blood, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, walking with abundance every day. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because you've got it. You've got it. It's yours. You possess it.
Amen.
And then we look at the world. And we say, we know. We know. We've been there. We've been through the pig pen of sin and the honky tongues and all the habits of, and I hesitate to list them lest somebody think I'm condemning. I'm not condemning. Jesus didn't come to condemn, he came to save the world. But the devil's got a yard, it's called the pig pen, you know, and he's got just multitudes of people in there. And they're eating corn husks and saying, isn't this good? Oh, we found something better than the corn husk. We found something better than that. And if we try so desperately and we pray so fervently for people to see it and to understand it, that what we have got is real. But there are some people that claim to have it that don't have it. And sad to say, some people on the other side are looking at those people and they're misjudging Christianity, because there are some people that go around like this, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Oh, God is wonderful. Man, I wouldn't want their Christianity. I wouldn't want their religion. Now we need to go around. Hey, somebody says, are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm happy. I'm full of joy. Why shouldn't I be? I'm going to have to preach on joy. That's all there is to it. I'm just going to have to preach on joy.
Praise the Lord.
Well, Brother Tanner, you better flip the coin and preach on suffering too. I'll include that in my preaching on joy.
Yeah.
Because we're supposed to suffer with joy.
Amen.
We're supposed to go through our trials with joy. That's all one message. Joy and suffering. That's all one subject.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
They went away rejoicing, the Bible says, that they were counted worthy to suffer. Shame for his name's sake.
Yeah.
See? Rejoicing and suffering. Same message.
Amen.
Same message. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, you poor Christians. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't go here. You can't go there. Oh, you can't go to movies. You can't smoke cigarettes. You can't get drunk. You can't go high on dope. You can't take your clothes off in the summer and get a suntan on the public. You know? Oh, you poor Christians, you can't do it. I like what Ted Jefferson said, the black man that comes here and preaches for us once in a while. He tells about what they can't do, and then he says, but they don't know what we can do.
Amen.
And that's just the way I feel. This world doesn't know what we can do. They don't know the joy that we have when we hear the Word of God preach. They don't know the joy we have when we see somebody go down in that watery grave and come up out of there a new creature walking newness of life. Praise the Lord. Oh, they don't know the joy when we run around this church. We dance and we leap for joy. Praise the Lord. And we sing and we shout hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 The Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I would have to say that if we don't enjoy the things that I've just been talking about, we ain't got it. Bad English, but you know what I'm saying. You don't have it. I want a pastor at a church that's got it.
Amen.
I mean, they've got it. Praise the Lord. Does the Bible teach deny yourself? Take up your cross daily and follow me. Does the Bible teach surrendering all? We sing a song. You can never be blessed and have peace and sweet rest until you yield him your body and soul. He wants all of us. And Would I ever like to get into that? We come to church ready to fight. We don't know him. We come to church ready to fight God. That's why the song that my wife and I sing, I went there to fight, but praise God that night, God got a hold of me. Sure we go. The sinner wants what we've got, but he comes ready to fight. He's going to fight that conviction off. You know what that battle is? That's a battle between the carnal man and the spiritual man.
Amen.
There's a carnal man that hates God, hates the song service, hates that. And yet there's something inside of a man that's empty and hungry and crying out for something.
Yeah.
And you come and you have a battle. It's just like that. And you know that that happens to Christians sometimes? I'm going to give 90%. I'm not going to give all. You know, and so on. You'll never be blessed in the peace and sweet rest until you give him all. People seem to think that if I give him all, I won't be happy anymore. I got to keep a little bit of this joy and fun for myself. I can't give it all up. That would be too much. I would be bored being just a Christian. I mean, nothing but a Christian. You know, I only go by this. I only eat this. Now, let me tell you something. The secret to the fullness of joy is this reckless abandonment of everything. I mean, you just throw it all out.
Yeah.
You go through your billfold. And if you got something in there that's not glorifying to God, like a picture of an old girlfriend or like a little address back there or a telephone number, you throw it out. You go through your drawers at home. You go through your different rooms, the basement, the garage, everywhere. Any pictures, any magazines, anything that's not glorifying to God, you throw it out. You get rid of it completely. All of a sudden, after you have a really clean house, something fills you up. You know, all the rocks, the junk, the sand, the dirt, the debris, it's all out of the bucket. Now there's room in the bucket for the pure water of life.
Yeah.
And it's full, and something happens. Praise the Lord. We need to sell out to God completely. The devil has lied to Christians and has told them not to give it all up. But when you give it all up, that's where the release comes. That's where the joy comes. That's where the liberty comes.
Amen.
Really, I'm telling you the truth.
Amen.
The whole Bible teaches that. Give it all up. Oh, praise the Lord.
Amen.
I may think they have a little idea what I'm talking about.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
We sing a song, every bridge is burned behind me. Every bridge is burned behind me. I am resolved to hasten. I forgot the words, but I've often thought of that song. Every bridge is burned behind. No way back. Just forward. Praise the Lord. I have an awful confession to make to you. I am subject to a higher power, and sometimes people call it not staying on the subject and digressing. I've talked to the Lord about this, and I just feel like God is speaking to somebody this morning.
Praise the Lord.
I really do. I feel like God is speaking to several people this morning. And I think that this is a crucial day in your life. You can either accept or reject. I should say receive or reject the Word of God. Not me. Do you know what I am? I am nothing. I am a vessel. That's all I am. I pray before I ever come to church to minister the Word of God. I say, God, empty me out. Just empty me out completely. Cleanse me, Lord, so that I'm just a clean funnel. Just a vessel. Because this is God's plan. And then God speaks to that one ministering the Word, the pastor in this case. God speaks to him. It goes into the funnel, into the vessel, and out to the people. And I pray, God, don't let anything come out of me that's not of you, that's not in this word. Just you, Lord. And I feel that God has funneled something to some people here this morning. That God is speaking to people about just letting go. Letting go of the world. Letting go completely. And also, people who need the Lord. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. I wonder if we couldn't all just bow our heads silently for a moment. And I'd like to talk to the Lord about this situation.